I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
New York is the city that never sleeps, and neither does Sal Licata. From Flushing in the Bronx to the Meadowlands in MSG, Sal sounds off on the biggest sports news of the day. Welcome to WFAN Daily with Sal Licata.
Hello and welcome to another edition of WFAN Daily. I'm your host, Sal Licata. Don't forget to download, rate, subscribe, wherever you get your podcasts. Also, hit us up at the email, send us a comment, question, comments. We'll answer them on an upcoming mailbag episode, wfandaily@gmail.com. You know what I was thinking as I saw the news tonight that the Yankees missed out on Jordan Montgomery? He signs with the Diamondbacks. At long last, Jordan Montgomery has officially signed somewhere. Thank goodness. I mean, opening day is only, you know, tomorrow, for goodness sake, as you listen to this. And Montgomery didn't have a team. There was talks. There was even reports as recently as yesterday from Joel Sherman of the Post talking about the Yankees and Mets have not closed the door. Seemed like Montgomery closed the door on the Yankees a long time ago. And the Yankees kind of got what they deserved by mistreating Montgomery, underappreciating Montgomery, trading him away, then having him go on to have success in St. Louis, being a world champion with the Texas Rangers, and getting eventually a contract from the Arizona Diamondbacks that to him was more beneficial than the Yanks. 1 year, $25 million, vesting option for the second year. He makes 10 starts. That second year is going to kick in. So Montgomery doesn't get maybe the long-term six-year, $100-plus million deal that he was hoping for, but does get a good value. And like the thing that I was thinking was, man, the Yankees say all in, but they didn't go all in. And I know this is going to sound crazy, but the Mets have had a better offseason than the Yankees had. At least the Mets had a plan. They stuck to their plan, and they even ended up getting one of the guys who they weren't expected to get in J.D. Martinez. If you could have told Mets fans this offseason that they would have gotten one bat, that would have been the guy. I mean, I wanted Soler, but it would have been a DH, either Soler or J.D. Martinez, and they ended up getting that guy. If you would have asked Yankee fans what's the one bat that they wanted, it would have been Juan Soto. They got their guy. Now, I'm not trying to say that Martinez is better than Juan Soto. Nobody would say that. However, the Mets aren't going all in. The Mets are in a rebuild mode, and they still got some pitching filling out their rotation. As you know, shoddy as it may be, everybody had a good spring. Severino looked terrific. Manaea looked pretty good. Mets rotation pretty good so far in the spring. Their bullpen should be okay. And their lineup now with J.D. Martinez is very good. The Yankees say all in. They get Juan Soto. They get Marcus Stroman, who's not Blake Snell. I mean, he might be a little bit better than Jordan Montgomery, but even at this point, I'm not so sure I'd rather have Marcus Stroman than Jordan Montgomery. So he's more proven, yes, but Stroman, yeah, come on. So the Yankees settle for, instead of Snell or Montgomery, they settle for Marcus Stroman. They get Verdugo, yeah, nice piece, but they didn't go all in. They didn't go get Bellinger. They didn't get Hader. And everybody thought, including my partner BT, you can check us out on the middays, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on The Fan. Even BT will say, oh, they'll get Snell or they'll get Montgomery. They'll get somebody. Well, here we are. Opening day is here, and they got squat. Now, Luis Gil is a terrific, you know, back end of the rotation guy. And, you know, maybe he'll outperform some of these other guys that the Yankees could have had. But still, I think the Mets had a better offseason than the all-in Yankees, especially when you factor in that they lost Gerrit Cole. Man, it is a – and I don't care what the baseball reference projections put out there. I mean, come on. There's so how do you have projections where you don't even factor in the offseason? Like, they go based off of the last 100 games of the regular season. Okay, great. Like, what exactly does that accomplish? Teams change in the offseason. And as minimal as I may look at the Yankees offseason, and it's not minimal, that's not the right word, but as – you know, not all in as the Yankees offseason was. They still did get Juan Soto. They still did upgrade their ball club going in. So, you know, those projections to me don't mean a lot. However, when you factor in the loss of Gerrit Cole and, you know, LeMahieu already banged up, Judge already dealing with something this spring, even though he's going to be ready for opening day, man, there are a lot of question marks around this Yankee team, a team that I really thought had to actually go all in the offseason. And they didn't. And there is this feel that, you know, because of the Cole injury, because of the uncertainty with some of the others, because of the, you know, lack of all-in free agency or lack of all-in offseason the Yankees have had, I don't feel the same excitement where I do with the Mets, which is insane. Because one move by the Mets with J.D. Martinez kind of invigorated the fan base and at least got them excited to make a legitimate run at a playoff spot. We can question the Mets and make fun of the Mets and say the pitching's not going to hold up, and I don't think the pitching's going to be great. You know, we could say the Phillies and Braves are going to destroy the Mets and all that, and that may be true, but their lineup is legit. Their pitching has potential to be solid, and their bullpen is pretty good. They should be legitimate contenders for a wild card spot, whereas the Yankees, and that would exceed the Mets' expectations, whereas the Yankees' expectations or to be a World Series winning team, and they fell short of that in the offseason, and on top of that, lost their best pitcher for minimum 2 months and had their best player banged up already with mid-spring beat-up in March. Imagine what the mid-season beat-up is going to look like come June. So I think there are major concerns for Yankee team that talked tough and said they were going to be all in that didn't go all in. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't be excited about the upcoming season. Of course, with Soto and Judge, knock on wood, healthy in that lineup, that's going to be the most exciting 1-2 punch in all baseball. But just the gut feel that I have because of the expectations, and for me, that's how I ultimately judge teams, results versus expectations. Well, the Mets had nowhere to go but up, and I feel like they're trending in that right direction after a surprisingly good offseason, adding a real DH for a change. And with the Yankees, it's World Series or bust. And already with the Cole news, hey, sometimes there's nothing you could do about it. And unfortunately, it seems like yet again, it's not going to be the Yankees' year, whether it's just because of Cole or because of the rest of that, you know, team that could be banged up, specifically with Aaron Judge. But a lot of question marks for an all-in team. Oh, and by the way, you know, the Orioles are good. I think the Mariners are going to be really good this year. The reigning World Series champion, Texas Rangers, the Astros who own the Yankees, Blue Jays and Rays always, you know, seem to, you know, be atop that AL East. So Yankees got their work cut out for them going into an all-in type season with Juan Soto's free agency looming nonetheless, with the Mets potentially being there to swoop in and steal them. This is going to be a very important season in, you know, not just shaping this year for the Yankees, but also the future of the Yankees. Before we say goodbye on this edition of WFAN Daily.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Congratulations are in order to the best team in New York right now. Forget the Yankees, forget the Mets, forget even the New York Knicks. The Jets, the Giants, we know what their deals are as they head to the draft in a month or so. The New York Rangers, first team to 100 points on the season. They have clinched a playoff spot. Man, what a freaking season the Rangers are having. Shesterkin started out shaky, ups and downs. They get the win last night against the Flyers in overtime, a thrilling win back and forth. Fox wins it. The Rangers get those 2 points and get to 100 points, first team in the league to do so. But think about the ups and downs of this season and individual performances, specifically with Shesterkin, how they were questioned if he's going to be back to being Igor, and now he has been. Rangers have done it many different ways, some toughness, some resiliency, losing guys, whether it's Fox, whether it's Lindgren. I mean, they have been banged up left and right. You know, Hedel obviously going down with a significant injury. They didn't go nuts at the trade deadline where, you know, I hope they would. They made some solid moves. But the New York Rangers, legitimate chance to compete for Lord Stanley's Cup this year. Congratulations, leading the Metropolitan Division, 100 points, first to 100, and clinching a postseason spot. And it's just going to be a matter of, look, they have the horses. Can they break through in what is going to be a gauntlet yet again in the Eastern Conference postseason? Can they break through, led by Igor, being Igor? They're deep enough. They're tough enough. They're well coached. You know, Panarin is having an MVP season. He is dominating. The biggest key, forget about even Shesterkin, because this has been an issue for the Rangers in the past as well. The biggest key for them is going to be not only the play of Igor, but we've seen that be terrific in the postseason last year, but the play of Panarin. Will Panarin, you know, similar to Aaron Judge, we talk about Judge has had those monster regular seasons, but is never that player, hasn't been that player in the postseason yet. Will Artemi Panarin, coming off the best season of his career, certainly his best season with the New York Rangers here, dominating from start to finish, MVP-type season, can he perform at that level in the postseason? If he does, with Igor playing the way that Igor is playing, the New York Rangers will win the Stanley Cup for the first time in 30 years. Happy anniversary. 1994, 2024. I love the symmetry. I thought it was going to happen in 2014. It didn't. Came close, but obviously fell short of that. Maybe this is finally the year, but we shouldn't overlook the best team in New York right now, the New York Rangers. All right, that does it for us on this edition of WFAN Daily. Remember, hit us up on the email, WFANDaily@gmail.com. We'll answer emails, questions, comments on an upcoming mailbag episode. And download, rate, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see you tomorrow.